And before we dive into our new series, I just want to say a little bit about Mother's Day. Wish you happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is really this wonderful day that we are able to celebrate so many different women worldwide in our church family. It's a day of joy, a day of celebration, and really a day to acknowledge the debt of gratitude that we have for our mothers. If you were like me and you get older and you look back to all the things that you may have done to your mother, you're grateful that for all the stuff that she put up with. But at the same time, just this realization that oftentimes Mother's Day carries different emotions, different experience. For some people, it's a difficult day. Some have recently lost their mom. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're a mom who's lost a child, a woman who's been trying to have a baby but have not been able to, or maybe you're single and you're just waiting to meet the right person. It's been difficult, and this day just reinforces your pain. And it can be complicated. It can be layers of emotions. But wherever you are on that spectrum, I just want to say two different things. One is whether you have biological children or not, I think that God calls us all to care for people as a part of His work, as a part of His kingdom, and that I think that He's got a place and a vision for each of us. And that's one thing. And the second thing, this is really, really hard for me to do personally. I say this, and honestly, sometimes even when I'm saying it may sound a little bit cliched, but this is something that I think is a deep truth of what Scripture says, is that your identity is not determined by whether you're a biological mother or not. Your identity is based on this truth that you are loved unconditionally by God. And that's where your identity is found. So I want to offer a prayer for the women in this room and what they have meant to so many of us. God, we come before you, and honestly, we're grateful. I'm grateful that for some people in this room, this is a day of pure joy and pure celebration, that there's no other emotion that's mixed in. And God, for people in that place and that season, God, I just have to say thank you for that. But for the rest of us who come in with different emotions that sometimes span different even generations, God, I pray that you will give us peace today. It is so, so very hard for us to really wrap our head around this fact that you give us this identity that is based purely on your love, that you love us unconditionally, God, and sometimes that you love us really unreasonably. And for that, I'm grateful. And God, I pray that you help that be our identity, the place that we are rooted today. We thank you for Jesus, and it's in His name I pray. Amen. So if you are new to South Point, what we do is we talk about our messages in the form of a series. We're actually starting a new series today. It's a great week to be here. It's a series called Family Portraits. And really, every series that we do, we open up Scripture. We frequently look at the life of Jesus, and we really talk about every series. It points us to our vision, and this is our vision at South Point: is that we want everyone to experience God's unconditional love. What I want to experience this, and as we've been talking a lot the last several weeks about our building and how our building really is a tool. It's a tool to accomplish this. Want to really continue that conversation because I believe that what God wants for each of us, God wants each of us to experience His unconditional love, and I think that this can happen really on a couple different levels. On one level, I think that God calls His people, calls His church to help others experience His love by doing very tangible and real and practical things. And this is what South Point, that we try to do all the time. We try to always have an event where we are in the community showing love in a real, tangible, practical way. This is why earlier in the year, that we did something called Night to Shine, which was one of my very favorite nights of the year, a special needs prom that we partnered with other organizations and other churches to put on down on Aquidneck Island. And it was really a phenomenal night. And then after that, we followed that up, and we partnered with Sojourn Collegiate Ministries and did a polar plunge that benefited the Izzy Foundation. And we also had a baby shower that we just celebrated, where we were able to bless young mothers and new mothers. This is why we do things like Boots on the Ground that are coming up. And really why over the summer you will hear of different opportunities to show God's love in very, very practical ways. We will do things like clean up neighbors' yards right in the neighborhood of Norwood. We will talk about South Point and the building being used as a place to help those with addictions and those who are facing some very difficult challenges and painful circumstances. We will talk about helping the Boys and Girls Club and supporting the great work that they are doing. And we will talk about all these things on a collective level and individually. We talk all the time about us being generous and loving and serving people in our individual lives with the people that we are around. We talk about showing God's love in that way all the time. In fact, you can go back and listen to all the messages from 2018, and this is really what we've been talking about the whole year. But we also believe that God wants us to experience his love on a deeper level. What he wants every person to experience is he wants every person to experience a life lived with him, a life lived with God continually every second of every day. And to me, again, this is something that sounds a little bit cliched, so I'm going to try to describe what that means. The best way I can really describe what that means is to look at a life in Scripture. And I was reading Psalm 61, a Psalm of David, where David was, again, a lot of the Psalms they're basically prayers written to God or songs written to God. And what David does in the 61st Psalm is he piles up different images that talk about how he relates to God. And he says about God, he says, "Lead me, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am." And what he's saying about God, he's saying, "God, you are my rock. You are my rock." And here's some of what comes with that imagery. And this is what I believe God wants for each of us. What comes with that imagery is this security that we can climb up on this rock, and God will be our rock. God will be our foundation. And when you're on top of a tall rock, if you've ever had this experience, you can see from this great perspective that you couldn't see from on the ground. And when God is our rock and our foundation, oftentimes he allows us to see from his perspective. Because if you are like anything like me, it is very, very easy to get tied up on all that these things happening on the ground in your life. It's very easy to get tied up in family situations and frustrations and in the same fights, the same conversations that happen over and over and over and over again. But when David prays, "God, you are my rock," what he's saying is, "God, give me your perspective here that I can be able to see from your place." And he goes on, he says, not only is God my rock, he says, "God, you are my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. God, in you, I will find protection. God, you will protect me from my enemies. God, you will protect me from all these different circumstances." And then he continues with a similar imagery when he says, "God, I take refuge in the shelter of your wings." And what he's doing is he's picturing God really as a mother bird sheltering her young ones. And what happens here, and I think the imagery that we talk about when we see this in Scripture, and this, again, this is the life that God wants for us, is God wants to shelter us. I know there are so many people in this room who are going through difficult circumstances and for whom 2018 or 2017 or 2016 have been very difficult years for you. And I wrestle with that. And for me, I know I experienced very difficult things. And honestly, I said this first service, what is a tension point for me is I always want to be someone that is real and transparent and authentic about what is happening inside of me. But I don't want to slip into self-pity. And sometimes I feel that I do. Sometimes in trying to be honest and transparent and vulnerable, slip into self-pity. But in these moments where things are happening in your world or things are happening in my world, one way that we can guard against slipping into this place is if we view God as this bird that shelters us, that we are his little ones. And here's what I mean, that so many of us have gone through difficult times in these past few years. But what I think about frequently is, you know what? There are certain things that God has provided in these years that, you know what, if he didn't provide this or he didn't provide that or if he didn't provide this, that life could have been so much worse. And I think that when we are going through difficult times, the perspective that God wants to give us is this, that, you know what, that he is this bird that is sheltering us. And guess what? Even though you're walking through a difficult season, that God is still the one who gives you all these different gifts that protect you from what could be even so much worse. And so when we're talking about here about this level of experiencing God's unconditional love, what God, I believe, is saying is, I want to give you that. I want to take you to this place where no matter what you are going through, that you have great perspective from the top of the rock, that you have great security, that you see me as your refuge, and that you have great confidence in me. This is what God wants, I believe, for each of us. But so oftentimes when you hear modern Christians or Christian leaders talk about faith today, they don't talk about it at this depth. What we sometimes talk about is we talk about people taking merely first steps into the faith. And first steps are great. First steps are necessary. We celebrate things about people praying a prayer to welcome Jesus into their life. We celebrate baptism. We celebrate people coming to church for the very first time. And we celebrate. All those things are great. All those things can be first steps in someone's journey. But I think that what God actually wants for us is God doesn't want us to stop at first steps. God wants each of us to take second steps and third steps and continue taking steps on this journey with him. And the reason is pretty simple. Is because if you don't keep taking steps on this journey, you're not going to be ready for what life will throw at you. Life will throw at you relationship difficulties. Life will throw at you loneliness. I mean, maybe Mother's Day this year is great for you. But my guess is it's going to be difficult for you for some reason at some time in the future. Maybe you are facing the situation where there's no clear path, no clear answer, and you don't really know what to do or what to say. And this is why we need to keep taking more steps and more steps towards God, that he wants us to experience the depth of his love. What we don't want to be like is we don't want to be like this guy that I just heard about. This guy had been a Christian, had followed Jesus for 22 years. And upon some reflection, what he said, you know, I didn't have the depth. I didn't have the maturity of someone who's been in the faith for 22 years. I wasn't at a 22-year-old maturity level. He says, no. I was at a one-year maturity level. He said, because I realized I lived this first year of Christian maturity 22 different times over. And I was still at this one-year maturity level. And I think that's what God wants us to experience. Yes, God wants us to be in the community showing his love, but God also wants us to experience the depth of his love. And sometimes Christians don't do this. We don't experience this because, again, oftentimes what you will hear from many modern Christian leaders and Christians today, they almost turn Christian maturity into a formula. And the formula is this: you need to read your Bible every day, you need to pray every day, and go to church. Like, that's the formula. But I heard about this pastor that I respect, and actually a lot of this series is built on his work. A pastor from New York City, his name is Pete Scazzaro, talked about really he had become a pastor and he wasn't experiencing the depth of this maturity. Here's what he said. He said, you know, I spent an average, and this is somewhat shaming to me, honestly. I spent an average of 2 to 3 hours every day with God in prayer, reading scripture, listening to God's voice, confessing my sins, journaling. I said, I often spent a day fasting and praying. But he said, I was not giving God the opportunity to look at my heart. Jesus had not transformed my whole self. And here's what brought him face to face with this reality. Is that he and his wife were living in major conflict. So much so that his wife, this is not good if you're a pastor, his wife said, you know, this church that you are pastoring, I quit. I'm not coming anymore. And it forced him to make changes, as pain often does in our life. What he did is he he compares life to this iceberg. He says our life is a lot like an iceberg where oftentimes people just see what is above the surface, just see the 10% above the surface, but there is 90% of our lives that live below the surface. The 10% is what people see, what we present to acquaintances, what we show at church, maybe in a coffee shop. But the 90% is made up of the parts that only your family sees. And probably the depth beyond that, like only what you see and don't show to anyone. And then beyond that, there's probably parts of you that you don't even see yet and that you're not even aware of. And what he says is, he said, you know, the Titanic sank because it collided with the 90%. That's where collisions often take place. And many people wreck their lives or they live inconsistent lives because of the forces and motivations beneath the surface, which they've never considered. And this brings me back to a scripture verse that we could probably read in a lot of different sermon series, but really applies here. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He's saying guard that 90%. Now here's a little bit of a sidebar. Allow me a little sidebar here, is because when we talk about the building, I think that God's going to use it in incredible ways to as a tool to serve the community. I mean, the possibilities really are endless. But I think that God can also use it to provide us a little bit more space to be able to grow in depth and in maturity. And honestly, this is a great desire for me, and I know several in leadership. And I just don't know that we have done this. I say we talking about the leadership. I don't know that we have done this that well over 6.5 years. And we can point to excuses, probably an excuse is, you know, we don't have a building, and it's really, really hard to get together for classes or small groups, you know, when you don't have a space. Yeah, it is. But I don't want that to be an excuse. My hope is that over time, what happens is that our church grows in this area. And I believe this is why we need a family ministry position. You know, when we're talking about pledges and going towards a new position, the reason is not because, okay, you know what, we just want to hire, we just want to expand. Not all of the reason for that. I mean, my own personal reason is because there are so many people that I love right here who have experienced really an unprecedented amount of pain. I don't know about you. I don't want that to keep happening. I want to get out in front of that, to be proactive. I believe for a church our size that South Point has experienced a disproportionate amount of pain within relationships. I believe that this needs full attention, that this needs more than certainly that I am able to give. I go to bed. What keeps me up at night is thinking about the pain of the people that I love. And I realize here that this sermon series is probably not going to fix all of that. So we want to give a series of messages here that will hopefully help in the present, but also point ahead to the future about what this can be. And let me take one more second here on the sidebar with this. You know, in the upcoming months, when we're talking about moving into this community, there are going to be a lot of opportunities for you to serve, for you to plug in, to either love and serve the community by helping clean up a neighbor's yard or doing a partner event. There's going to be opportunities for you to help with the building. There's going to be all these different opportunities. But if you're facing this situation where you say, you know what, I'm presenting a good 10% kind of face to everyone, but my 90%, what's happening below the surface, is a mess. My relationship is a mess, and it needs full attention. If you are at that place, here's my recommendation to you, is that you focus on that. Sometimes we want to come and we want to help out with the building and we want to help out with this event. And sometimes we honestly probably want that to distract ourselves. And we don't want that to be the case. So if you're here and you're facing a situation like that, I will say this and realize you don't need my permission at all to do what you do. But you have full permission. And I will say, this is my desire, that you work on this. You work on this stuff first. What is happening in your own world? That God will provide. That God will provide the rest for what South Point needs to do as we move into a building. You see, when we talk about the building and the why, really the why of South Point, we believe that Jesus. I believe that Jesus wants to give us deep freedom and deep rest. And we understand that a person's life, yes, it is like an iceberg. The vast majority of is below the surface. So when we talk about people experiencing God's unconditional love, this is what we're talking about, experiencing God's love in all of the depth right here below the surface. And I think that what this series will hopefully do is challenge you to really invite God into this process, that you're going to open up your life and say, God, will you look at these parts of my life that are honestly a little bit uncomfortable for me to talk about and think about? Because I believe that God wants you to experience freedom here. Now, what is honestly a little bit of a helpful question is for us to look at what this life really looks like. To think, okay, this is what God wants for us. What does this life look like? And I think that we have to look at the person of Jesus. When we look at the person of Jesus, I see something really, really incredible. If you go back and you listen to our last series, what we did is we looked at all these stories where it noted in Scripture how Jesus saw people. And what we said is so often we look past people, but Jesus continually saw people, continually did a double take, continually noticed the people around him, and not only noticed them, but he was like aware of what was happening inside of them. That Jesus had compassion on them, and he could sympathize with them. And what we said is, you know what, this is our goal, to be able to do that, to be able to notice people and to see people. And some of you may have said, well, I want to do that, but how do I do that? And that's where I think that these two series connect. Because when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus, yes, he continually noticed people and was aware of people. But the way I believe that Jesus was able to do this, too, is that Jesus took time where he went away and he was with God. And he said, God, I'm going to make myself aware of you. God, I'm going to let you speak into me, Father. And there were several times where Scripture talks about Jesus' emotions. And I believe that Jesus was aware of what was happening inside of himself. That's why he could see what was happening inside of others. And we can look at all these ways. There are several different Scriptures that talk about that Jesus was aware of what was happening inside of him. John chapter 11, verse 33, we see that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit. He was deeply moved when he had lost a friend. He wept, yes, at the graveside of Lazarus. Jesus also wept over the pain of the city. Jesus, at times, and this is a fascinating scripture, he was angry with his disciples. Jesus was also furious. There's times where he was furious at the commercialism that existed in the temple, at this way that those in the temple leadership, that they said, you know what, if you are not a Jewish person, you can't only come so far, we're going to take advantage of you. That infuriated Jesus. There were times where Jesus had astonishment, and there were other times where it says that Jesus longed to be with his 12 apostles. There are several scriptures that we looked at, and we looked at several of these last series where he was compassionate for widows and lepers and blind men. And all this to see is that Jesus was very transparent about his emotions. If you're new to Jesus, you have to understand, Jesus didn't write any of these things. In fact, Scripture has four biographies about the life of Jesus. So when we're reading about Jesus being honest about what's happening inside of him, when he's saying, you know what, I was furious or I was angry, how did his biographers know that he was furious? How did they know he was angry? Well, it took Jesus being able to open up and share, hey, this is what is going on with me. So again, my point in this is that, you know what, if we're going to live this life that Jesus has called us to live, this means being alone with God and having God be able to speak into us. And when we are in touch with what is happening inside of us, when we're in touch with this deep awareness of God, that will allow us to see other people. Where we won't overlook people. And I believe that he shares with us how we do this. And the answer is simply, where we need to start is we need to start below the surface. We need to look beneath the surface of what is happening in our own life. What this may mean for you is creating a little space in your life where you can allow God to speak to you individually and say, God, look at my motivations. Test me in this. And it may be you creating space in your life for God to speak to you individually. But I also believe that God speaks to you through other people. And right now we have the environment, we have a home group. But I hope in the future, as we are preparing for, that we're going to have different groups where women are going to be mentoring women, where men are going to be mentoring men. There are going to be smaller types of group where there's trust that's built, there's relationship, and where we can really speak into each other's lives. And we can look at the depths of what's happening below the surface. I believe there are several questions that we can wrestle with here. And we look at these questions and say, God, I want to know why. I want you to speak to me about what's happening below the surface. God, why do I always talk over people? God, why do I exaggerate? God, why do I present a different picture to everyone via social media than how I actually feel? God, why do I enjoy giving out criticism to other people? Or why do I struggle handling criticism? Why am I so defensive? God, why am I always late? Why do I avoid this person? Or why do I dread this meeting? Why do I begin to panic when this person hasn't returned my phone calls? Why do I drop everything to return a text or an email or a phone call and I'm not present with the people in my life? God, why? And I believe what God wants to create, what God's hope for South Point is, yes, that we will help people experience his unconditional love here, but also that we will experience the depth of his unconditional love as he continues to transform us. An author by the name of Richard Foster said this. He said, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people, not for a greater number of gifted people, but for a greater number of deep people. Because it takes courage to ask ourselves these questions, to allow God to speak into our lives at this depth. And honestly, it reminds me of a story, again, from Peter Scazzaro's book, again, which a lot of the series is based on, from a lady in his church named Heather. And here's what Heather said. Heather was talking about God's unconditional love called the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died for us, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And here's what Heather said. She said, I love the gospel. But she said she had been a Christian for 10 years before she really understood the depth of it. She said, over those 10 years, I hid from my wretchedness, my defenses, my broken parts, even the abuse I suffered as a young girl. In fact, I was always hiding. I was hiding my anger, my jealousy, my arrogance, my conditional love, my selfishness, my brokenness, my mistakes, my weaknesses, my inadequacies. She said, these things were unacceptable in the Christian circles that I knew. I didn't think I would be liked or accepted if I was not strong, if I was not together. Who would listen to me? She said, I had to prove myself capable, prove myself strong, perfect, and righteous. And she said, in the past, I had a hard time loving others. And I would begin to be in despair. She would say, I'm a Christian, and I'm not able to do the very essence of Christianity. But she said, then I realized I was depending on my own self-righteousness to recommend myself to God's favor. She said, I unconsciously had what people call the Daisy mentality. And in my margin, I read this book several years ago, and on my margins I wrote, me too. And here's the Daisy mentality when it comes to God. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Based on how well I was doing in my spiritual life. But she said, through a study of Galatians, a book in the Bible, she said, I received a fresh grasp of the gospel of Jesus. I don't have to prove myself to anyone, which is how I was unconsciously living my life. I am perfectly loved and accepted by God because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection for me. I love knowing that I have nothing left to prove because I'm valued, accepted, and loved by Jesus Christ. I can actually be free to be me. I came out of hiding. And that's where I think that the depth of the Christian message connects with the depths of us, the depths of our soul, where God looks at you and he says, you know what? I love you so much, I sent my son for you. You have nothing left to prove. You can be yourself because you have nothing left to prove. And I want you to experience my love at that depth. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love and for your grace. I'm grateful for the way that you not only want us to take a first step or a second step, third step, but the way that you call us deeper to you. Because honestly, this life does throw us so many curveballs, some painful situations that we did not even anticipate. And so often, God, we are wrecked below the surface. We can present ourselves well enough above the surface. And God, I pray that over these next several weeks that you speak to us, you remind us of your love, and that begins to shape us, to mold us, to give us this place of perspective, security, and peace. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name I pray.